good girl. In the day, nothing matters.
Matters.
In the night.
You have to say it with no D whatsoever in the matters.
Matters.
This apparently was originally written in Italian.
Yeah, yeah. I think I read that on the wiki. She stole it from some Guinea and then just swapped the lyrics out.
That's why a lot of the words just pause in the middle.
Really?
Yeah. Because she'll break up a bunch of words throughout the song. Like, it's annoying. I hate it in music when they do that. But
I wonder which Giorgio Moroder knockoff wrote this piece of crap.
Right there. Wait, here it comes. Before the mo. And it comes. Yeah. That's not how you write a song,
man. I thought that was normal 80s shoehorning. Just doing whatever the hell you want. Weird affected singing and a snare drum that sounds like it was recorded in a cave where Bin Laden would hide.
And musical phrases that end in the middle of a word.
All of that is the magic of the 80s. All right, you're listening
you
to Papa's Basement.
Take my self-control.
I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Flood today. Howard, for some reason, not over his Laura Branigan thing. And frankly, I what the hell, I like her.
Yeah, you saw the video, right? That video's hot. It's steamy hot.
Steamy hot. Yeah, you know, she had that Kathy Ireland, pretty white girl, no ass look.
Yeah, I think by modern
that
standards.
That was the 80s, kids. If you want to know what beauty was in the 80s, it was zero ass, pretty white girl, big hair.
And not an issue if you didn't pluck your eyebrows that much. Because if you check out how bushy those things are, I don't think it would fly today.
That's like an Irish chick thing. Like, the Irish brunettes can really have some caterpillars, man. I don't know what it is with them, man.
You're one to talk, Greek.
Oh, well, yeah, but I'm hairy everywhere. For some reason, they can be hairless, and then they'll just have these eyebrows that look like Brian Cox's eyebrows, and then they'll just have a bush. Like,
oh,
that Demi Moore Blame It on Rio bush. Right. Where they look like a human being, and then it's like they're breastfeeding a baby werewolf from their vagina. And it just got tuckered out after eating its fill and fell asleep right on their tum-tum. I don't even believe in my heart of hearts that bush exists. Like if a chick didn't shave nowadays, I still don't think it would be that way.
Yeah, I think you really need to get some guests who are...
like it was a response to the Cold War.
You definitely need to get some guests on this show who are getting laid on the regular in the 80s so they can just talk about the evolution of Bush in the last 30 years. Just somebody who's been consistently laid for the last... You know, we're entering the fourth decade since the 80s, by the way. But yeah, somebody who's just like, watched the evolution of the bikini wax.
I would have to think there isn't anyone who's against... No hair or almost no hair.
It's a little weird. I think that's
anyone who says that no hair is weird is a creep.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Anyone who's like, oh, it reminds me of a toddler. What reminds you of the toddler? The big supple ass on the other side of the vagina? The fact that it's like all engorged and getting wet? Do toddlers do that? No.
I mean, are you fully hairless? This is kind of the anxiety I would have.
I keep it pretty groomed down. My chick is really like against a full shave for either person. So I'm like, fine, if you want me to be a lazy fat slob about it, you don't have to tell me twice. You think I enjoyed stretching out my beanbag, like Stretch Armstrong's bicep, and then putting a Bic to it?
And, negative.
And taking
never done
a nice,
that.
Nice swath out.
I can proudly say I've never done that.
What, like not even groomed it or...
Not taking a razor to my nutsack, man. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do that. That's dangerous.
I mean, not really. I'm not taking the Crocodile Dundee knife and then just playing it like a violin.
Dude, I wish you the best of luck with that folliculitis. I hope you're using that razor on
Oh, I never get razor bumps from it. I don't know why.
Those are reserved for your chin?
Yes, my horrible, horrible chin. I have a chin like Isaac Hayes. A neck, not even a chin.
Yeah.
Just the neck. I have soul,
man.
Brother bumps.
Yeah, nah. I mean, it's almost as if you went to a black barber, man, with some of the bumps you got. I don't know where that's coming from.
It's just my hair.
All right.
Just curly like that. Hold on. I'm going to let us riff a little bit, but I'm also going to write down what we did for segments and when they ended. So at 7:20.
Belch marks the spot where we begin this.
end of 80s pubes segment. I'm glad we did that. That's the first fun I've had in weeks.
Oh, great. Okay.
I'm not saying that in exaggeration. Everything I've loved, Howard, has been taken from me.
Huh.
I love Opie and Anthony, and Anthony Cumia is gone.
What's the show called now?
Unofficially, O and J, Opie and Jimmy. It's,
wow.
It's,
that doesn't have the same ring.
No, not at all. And they really haven't changed the imaging on the station either. I mean, I guess they have. Like, they've done a bit of a... Oh, son of a bitch. All right, hold on. Let me take a call. And we're back. I got one of those nice, hello, we have selected such and such. Sorry, I'm going to take a pause for a second just so I can block that number. Damn you. You will never get the best of me again.
We were talking about
Anthony's
the O&J show.
O&J, yeah. And they've the last 3 days, they've scored some really good guests. I think they had Ricky Gervais in, Bob Kelly, Rich Voss, Pete Rose was in.
Huh.
Yeah, and I don't know. It just has the pall of a funeral about it. There's
That's
no,
pretty sad.
There's no levity. I imagine it's like Glee after that one guy killed himself. And you're still watching it. And you're like, oh, he used to be here, but he isn't. But we have to kind of act like he wasn't.
I checked out on that show. Believe it or not, I did watch some of that show. But it really became...
Okay, Captain Queer, continue.
Egregious in its continuing attempts to stay relevant or fresh when they had them go to college. I was just like, come on, no, end this. End
Glee
this.
Pulled Saved by the Bell and went to college. Yeah, I guess you if you're doing a high school show, you've only got 4 damn years, max.
Well, they had people from different classes, I guess. So you only had a few of the seniors leaving, and then the rest were still in school. But it's just garbage at that point when you try to maintain a connection between, like, the characters who are in, like, whatever shitty town in Ohio, and then Lea Michele moves to New York City. It's like, how are you going to maintain this? Get out of here.
Sorry, I'm going to mark that in case we try to keep this clean. But if you don't want to keep it clean, that's fine. You are my friend. I give you this gift. I didn't like it. I wanted to like it. I know the first season or so they put it out as this hyper snarky show. And I'm like, I guess I can do snark. But it was like really like rabid gay snark, which is just like being catty and bitchy for the hell of it. I'm like, that's not my cup of tea. Not that I'm not a mean person. I'm into very, very mean comedy. But there's like a catty twattiness. That stuff that appeals to a gay audience can revel in, and it's just not my thing.
I mean, for me, what I like is I do feel more television movies should have random songs inserted into the plot.
Don't the Glee kids have, like, more number one hits than the Beatles now, thanks to iTunes really coming of its own?
That's interesting.
Right when that, oh, God, all those. I think that was really what let me know I was right to hate it. Because I flipped to it for about 10 to 15 seconds, and it was just Lea Michele getting her hair mussed by some fruity guy.
She's talented, man. She's a very
good
singer.
I like to pound her. She's all right. She's good in that department, and I'd certainly put a whipping on it.
I guess for that show, I was mostly entertained when they weren't singing by... And most of them can't sing, really, to be honest. Like,
you don't want to hear some guy who's down on himself, and then his friend sticks out his hand and goes, "Don't stop believing!" And then they all burst into that.
Yeah, I'd say, like... at least 1 in 3 songs were horrendous. I'm not going to say that like 1 in 3 were necessarily awesome to listen to, but I'd say 1 in 3 offended you for on behalf of the artist who originally recorded it. So like anytime they did an Amy Winehouse cover, I was like, this is garbage. Like, why did you even pretend to try to do this?
I don't know, man. It's getting back to Opie and Anthony. That is, it's listenable. Absolutely not the same. As much as Anthony was a hate-filled bigot, and he was. I'm not going to apologize for the man. He does have a little bit of an issue with race hate in him.
I'm pretty sure that helps generate some listeners, man. How many guys like that do you have on radio at this point?
That's true. I don't know if they're like the listeners that sponsors covet. I don't know if they're seeking out the Triple K segment.
Depends on the sponsor. If you sell ammunition, this is exactly where you want your advertisement
to go. What is it, that White Rain shampoo that you can scrawl secret messages on prison walls with? And then you... You never heard of that?
No.
That was the rumor, like White Rain shampoo. You could just write on a wall and then put a UV light up to it and it would work as like blacklight poster material.
Wow.
And so for a bit, that was like how you did codes in prison.
Interesting. No, I've never been to prison, so that wasn't something that was within my knowledge base.
Oh, yeah, no. You hold up your blacklight, like you'd put it over a Zeppelin poster and be like, "We're going to stab Chalky in the commissary." prison life is so weird.
So what is the prison of his own life that Opie's now dwelling in?
Like I said, he's got Jimmy, who was the resident comedian, Jimmy Norton.
All right.
Working with him. And they seem to be booking very serious, like, A-list guests, or at least really good resident comedians that then sit in for the whole episode to help carry the funny load, as it were.
Okay.
So it's just a weird dynamic, man. I don't know what else to say.
Is Anthony releasing a new podcast or anything like that?
He'll be doing a show called Live from the Compound.
All right. When is that coming out?
Like mid-August, late August, something like that.
Aye, man.
I've seen his stuff before. It's weird. He's very funny as a second mic, but when he's working in a host capacity, I can't say it's really my cup of tea. Because it's very hard as a host to then to juggle the being funny duties with the I'm moving the show forward and giving it a spine. This is the flow of the show.
If he's taking that much time to get it ready, man, I doubt he's just taking a vacation right now. He's probably
he's not.
Working
he's working
on...
really hard on it. He's tweeting about it.
You don't think he's going to have another host step in?
I don't know if he'll be able to just step in and then be like, okay, I'm going to second fiddle to someone again.
It's not going to be like that. You're going to have more of a moderator type. Person.
Possibly. One of the few guys I've ever seen pull it off, in all truth, is Carolla. Carolla is able to both be the host and the funny person.
Yeah, he has a lot. He's got a pretty solid amount of experience doing both, though.
Yeah, yeah. I guess he has some sort of comedic background, and he's worked in radio for, 15, 20 something. I don't know. Loveline was like, we were kids, man.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
You remember Loveline?
Loveline was the best. That was when HFS played, like, music in American. None of the Spanish language.
Oh,
El
Sol. Before it became El Zol. Yeah, back when HFS was an alternative station in the D.C. area. And Loveline was carried nightly, right? That was the whole thing. Yeah. It was, like, so saucy. And we were all just a bunch of virgins, and guys were calling in, like, I think I got the clap, and you know, I think I gave it to my girl after cheating on her. And we were just like, this is great. I'm going to go drink Robitussin and beat off now.
My girlfriend says anal sex hurts,
yeah,
but I stopped doing it to her.
Yeah. And then Carolla just giving some kind of funny reply, and Drew with his talentless deadpan.
Well, I mean, back then he emphasized the doctor part more. He actually did have to
clean
up
for whatever. He cared back then.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to find rich junkies, and they'll kill themselves immediately after the last camera light goes off, but I will be famous in the meantime. No, you're right. Back then, he really did give a crap about helping. And it was like, I'm going to let Adam make a joke about warts on the penis, and then I'm going to give a solution. I don't know, man.
I'm sorry that your day-to-day entertainment value for
that's
serious
gone.
Has disappeared.
No, that it's not even that. It's like, so Opie and Anthony has changed. Sunday night, which used to be my jam for TV, like it almost always is. You've always got a Mad Men. What, back in the day, you had Sopranos. During the football season, Sunday Night Football. Like, there's always something good on Sunday nights.
Well, it's summer now.
Yeah, but HBO normally doesn't drop the ball the way it has lately. I don't know if you sit glued to your TV on Sunday like I do, but for me, it's my one hardcore TV night.
No, that's very different for me, yeah.
Okay, well, we are dealing with True Blood segueing into The Leftovers. That is what we're getting on Sunday nights currently.
Okay, I haven't watched True Blood in a very long time, since maybe second season. Like, start of third season, I kind of gave up on that soap opera.
So, yeah, well, you tapped out at the right time. I got into it right after season two was done, and I watched seasons one and two, and I was like, this show's amazing.
Season two was great.
And I was really riled up for, one was even better, for my money. And I was really riled up for three to come along, and then they're just like, oh, all of a sudden there's werewolves and fairies and crap, too.
Rolled my eyes and turned it off.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
I mean, there might as well have been little aliens with the big eyes and triangle heads just shoving metal rods at people's dick holes and asses.
It would have spiked audiences in Japan, that's for sure.
No, for Japan, you would have had to have enemas, too. Squid enemas. I know how they like it in that weird little island nation.
Oh, man. But then The Leftovers, that's a show that I've seen one episode. I saw the second episode. Also not impressed, so.
It's The Leftovers. If people listening don't know the concept, I honestly, first of all, just say this. I don't even know if it's getting picked up, because that show must cost a lot. and I don't think it's getting big traction yet. The whole concept is on some day, I don't know, 3 years ago, 2% of the world's population just disappeared.
It wasn't two. I thought it was more.
No, it's 2%.
Oh, okay.
That's it. But it was enough where the entire leftovers, everyone left behind, it changed life. You know, people lost cousins, sons, daughters, all that junk, celebrities. That's like one of the few kind of funny things they do in the show, but they do it almost every episode where they're just like, in remembrance, and they'll show a picture of Gary Busey, and someone's like, right. Goddamn Gary Busey got taken. I mean, it's kind of good for like a throwaway laugh, but
because yeah, it's supposed to be a rapture-like event. This is supposed to be somewhat
No one knows event? Exactly. Yeah. Did God take people? Did aliens take them? What the hell really happened? And
I only watched the second episode, but part of the preview was at the end of the second episode for the third episode that there's a preacher in this town that we're primarily focused on.
Yeah.
Who goes around passing out information to people, showing like this wasn't the rapture. Look at this guy. He yeah. abandoned his wife and kids. Do you think God really took this guy up for being a good person? No.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that episode, I'm not giving anything away. That episode starts with him preaching to four people in his church on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And then some guy just has one, I guess, of his wife.
Oh,
where
yeah.
it was like, she was out sucking cock all about town. Do you think Jesus wants to be buddies with her? And the guy just like marches up and like, cold cocks the guy and then just starts kicking him in the ribs.
Oh,
right
wow.
in front of what's left of his congregation.
Wow.
And then we cut to our little leftovers credits. It's just not a good show, though. I don't like shows that purposely start with something weird as hell. And then it's like, we're slowly going to explain to you what's weird as hell. But maybe you think you've figured it out and you haven't. I guess Lost was the same way. And this was done by some of the Lost team.
Oh, was it? Yeah, I watched a little bit of Lost. I got tired of it, and I laughed when people complained about the final episode. I'm like, what did you think was going to happen? Of course they didn't know what they were going to do with it.
I mean, it blows my mind. If you want to just sit back and you watch that, and you're like, whatever the hell they do, fine. That's their creation. Enjoy. That's cool. If you're a passive viewer, I go nuts. I did this even with True Detective, when people are like, oh, I'm going to puzzle together what we know so far and figure it out. No, you're not. Sit the hell down. The writer can do whatever the hell he wants. You're not going to get it. And if it is easy enough to get, people are going to call you a moron for thinking you were smart because you figured it out.
Yeah, to the extent that foreshadowing makes enough of a clue for you to figure it out, like, that's not a surprise. It's really the author trying to let people who want to waste that much time feel better about themselves.
I just go nuts when someone watches this like, I never did Twin Peaks. But wasn't that like a really mysterious town and you had to like puzzle out what the hell was going on?
And of course, it's David Lynch, so he just had to have it come from out of left field what was exactly happening.
So. Exactly. So there's people that watch that episode after episode intently. Maybe this is the days of VHS. They record it and they rewatch it. And they're like, I think I got what's going on, man. And then, like you said, it's David Lynch. He's like, oh, no, it's actually this the whole time. And then you have to accept it because he's the creator.
Right.
It's like listening to a kid describe magical fantasy land.
It really is.
Like, oh, I go there and the witch feeds me gumdrops. And it's like, oh, what happens next? I think from the witch feeding him yellow gumdrops, it means this is going to happen. No, it's just some asshat rambling.
You've just described the entire career of David Lynch.
Yeah, it means nothing. Oh, yeah, you watch David Lynch, like Lost Highway. It's one dude, and then it's another dude for 90% of the movie, and then it's another guy again. And you're like, oh, that meant this. And people can, like, jerk off for 20 years pontificating. And you know what? None of it matters. All that matters is David Lynch one day, while he's taking a dump and eating his cornflakes, can send a tweet and just be like, this is what it meant. And every ounce of effort you ever put into it is null.
Yeah. I read something funny recently about Weird Al, because a lot of people have been reading into his use of the number 27.
Okay.
A lot.
Yeah, he's effing Weird Al.
You know what he said?
What?
He said that it really doesn't mean anything, and he now uses it to screw with people. But the original reason he picked the number 27 is something he uses commonly.
Uh-huh.
Is it fits in a lot of places when you need a lyric. And you have a number that fits there. It's just very poetic in a way when you think about it. 27. It has okay. that like a... Sorry, I was a classics major in college. So like at the very beginning, there's something known as an anapest. So it's
I did 4 years of Latin where I cheated off of you.
Yeah.
And even I don't remember what the hell an anapest is.
Sorry, it's two unaccented syllables followed by an accented one. That's okay. Hard to find. And so 27 fits that. So like he just kind of consciously or unconsciously like found a number that worked for a certain type of rhythm, and he just kept using it. And people were like, "Well, what does the number 27 have? What's its significance to Weird Al?" And it's just like, nah, just fit in a song. And he kept using it whenever it fit. And then it became this thing of like, oh, people are really fixated on this. I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah, it's self-sustaining. And it just, why do people, like when a lot of people hear lyrics and they're really analyzing, what did this lyric mean? And I love it. Like Mike Patton, especially with Faith No More. People are like, oh, man, his lyrics are so weird and they're so deep. I don't even know what this one means. And then years later in an interview, he just was openly like, I don't really care that much about the lyrics themselves. I just like sounds.
Yeah, that's great.
So if I talk about a turkey horse donkey, like I just like the way that rolled off of my tongue. And people are like, what do those three beasts symbolize? It's like, no, you asshole. You dumb piece of crap.
I was always under the impression also that the Chili Peppers don't put a whole heck of a lot of thought into the meaning of their songs either.
I mean, the Chili Peppers are a step away from just like smacking their cheeks and going,
yeah.
Right, you know,
I think
play
sometimes
spoons on their forehead.
They seem to me like they have these ideas and they want like some elements of meaning, and then they never really like work hard to get past like these disparate elements that kind of get thrown together. And it's like, that sounds cool. Done.
And that's fine by me.
Yeah,
like,
that's
fine. Analyze like, oh god, the worst is when people analyze rap. You want to analyze the worst lyrics of all time? Get into the Wu-Tang Clan, and I love the Wu-Tang.
Yeah,
but it's like, what do the 36 chambers mean? We're analyzing the lyrics of Eighth Chamber today. Just get the hell off it, man.
Just watch some kung fu flicks.
Yeah.
And be satisfied.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, analyze RZA's lyrics. Half of them are I don't like Whitey, and the other half are kung fu things.
I do like analyzing Juicy J lyrics. There's something wrong with that man.
I only know his one famous line because, of, you know, a bunch of younger chicks have told me about his music.
Oh, yeah. That's classic.
Him with a ratchet pussy or whatever.
That's so good.
The kids love Juicy J and his disdain for ratchet pussy. No, wait. He has an affinity for it.
He has an affinity.
We have a disdain for ratchet pussy.
Well, you have a disdain.
No, trust me. I don't. If you looked at my my resume.
See, this is what I'm saying, man. You got more in common with Juicy J than you think.
You would see several dabblings with the ratchet pussy. Yeah, I just that damn Leftovers show drives me nuts. I don't even like I can't even sit back and just relax and watch it, though. Like you said, we've had two episodes where we kind of establish what's going on. I think Jennifer Aniston's boyfriend is the main cop and he's all like skinny and sexy and tattooed. It's like, oh, what's his story? And then was it Amy Brenneman is his wife? And I just remember her as Edie from Heat. Where, like, she wasn't the best-looking thing, but she had a nice head full of hair. You just want to grab and pound from behind. You're like, oh, Robert De Niro slimed his dick into that. I'd take a piece. If I could follow the great Bobby D, sure, she's a 10. What do I care? And now she just looks like she's got 20 years of miles on her.
Wow.
And you're just like, oh, God. But there's the worst part of the show is there's this cult called, I think, the Guilty Remnant or the Guilty Reminder. And it's, again, the show makes its own world, so there's all these slang terms that exist within the show. Like, the event is just referred to a lot of the time as the 14th.
Yeah.
Like, because this happened on the 14th. Well, it was a worldwide event, so what the hell do they call it in Australia? How's that, assholes? Like, they don't even think that far ahead, you know what I mean? That drives me nuts. But, yeah, there's this cult called the Guilty Reminder, I guess. And they just all wear white, they don't talk, and they chain smoke.
It's annoying because they write handwritten messages to each other.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they at least text? What the hell? Did they take our phones in the rapture, too?
I feel like they should just stop communicating. I think writing is cheating.
It is.
I'm pretty sure that's cheating.
Why don't you just have them sign at that point?
Yeah.
It's such BS. No. And then what is the smoking? I love how a cult that's existing, I'm guessing on limited cult funds, and I think they're in New England, so they're what? Buying these things at $8 a pack?
Yeah, it's
show me the cigarette economics for this stupid cult.
It's an arbitrary symbol to like show whatever it is that they're ultimately
exactly
going to demonstrate.
That's how much anyone being honest with themselves can say, Howard. It's a symbol for whatever it's a symbol of. Do I know what it is? Hell no. None of it makes sense.
The real problem with that show, though, is like, am I really going to care by the time they reveal it? And the
You're
answer
not.
Is, I think I've already stopped caring.
I've tapped out three episodes in. I simply watch it because you could put, here's what it takes to make me not watch a show on HBO on Sundays. That gay show. And I'm not really homophobic at all. But what was it called? Waiting or Looking or Checking or whatever the hell. It was a one-word title from like 4 months ago. It followed Girls. And it was a half hour of gay dudes in San Fran. And I even tried to give it a whirl. Yeah. I started it, and the first 30 seconds is like two gay guys meeting in like a cornfield or some crap to blow each other off of Grindr. And I was like, wow, I thought watching Kids in the Hall made me kind of understanding and open about this sort of stuff. But obviously, I was very incorrect. Good day, gentlemen. And that was it for my viewing of that, whatever the hell that was called. Looking, I think it is.
Okay. You know, we have one of those around here in Northern Virginia, right? There's like you can go to one of the national parks and like, there's a parking lot.
There's,
where there's
one apparently
deep.
Like near my house.
Oh, like, near your house? I was thinking on the river. There's like a nice little overlook on the Potomac where like you can go get another dude
nice.
Who blows you. Yeah.
Oh, that soccer field right across from Best Buy. If you're coming down Stringfellow and you make the left onto Fair Lakes.
Oh, interesting.
To get to Best Buy, the soccer field on the right. Apparently dudes pound each other in the brown all the time in the little bathroom on those premises.
Ew, the bathroom?
Yeah, they do it.
That's gross.
They bum each other, as
That's
the British
gross.
Would say.
I'm just saying, like, if you're going to do that, go to an open field overlooking the Potomac. Get a nice view
look
of the
up,
river.
See the stars. Look down, see a man with a 5 o'clock shadow sucking you off. I will never get the mechanics of gay sex. Like, I don't care if gay people marry, whatever. More power to you. To actually look down and see a dude's face with its stubble and its bad dude breath and it's sucking your dick and that's what makes you happy in life.
You know, I'd never really thought about the idea that you might be like, could you shave before you go down there? I never really thought about that.
I missed that pamphlet.
Yeah.
Where just a gross a dude is blowing you and you're like, that is what's keeping my dick hard. A dude's mouth around my dick. That is what has me turned on right now. Yeah.
I mean, theoretically, it seems to me like since he has one as well, he should probably know what he's doing, right?
Dude, do you need a pussy to eat pussy properly? I mean, seriously, it's like, oh, finger the G-spot, lick the clit.
But when's the last time you got a good hand job from a girl?
I've...
What's the batting rate? I'm sorry, what is the batting average for chicks?
It's like almost nil, but I think that's more laziness than like a lack of understanding.
I think it's a lack of understanding.
Really? Like you think a dude realizes just what like kung fu grip pressure we put on our prick?
Heck yeah.
When we whack off? So dude hand job, he's really like putting his dude muscles into it. It's just mashing your dick and you're like, oh, now we're cooking with fire, boys. Now the pop secret is firing.
Oh, man.
So
that was the last show that you had to turn off on a Sunday before The Leftovers.
Oh, I'm still going to sit through The Leftovers, trust
really?
Me.
Really? Yeah. Liv Tyler was looking pretty hype.
Liv Tyler she's not Amy Brenneman territory, but that is not stealing beauty, Liv Tyler, anymore. where I'm gonna find a JPEG that's, you know, 200 pixels across, circa 95, of her with her tit out.
What really bothered me is the entire second episode had a storyline with her. And really nothing happened in it. You know, it's her process of joining the cult.
Yes.
And all I got at the end of the episode, and the reason I decided to stop watching it, was my feeling that this is not a television show. This is maybe a miniseries that deserved 4 hours of time.
Thank you. Thank you.
And it's taken way too long to get where they're going.
That should be 1 to 2 seasons.
It's a half season. It's half of True Detective. That's what I've decided right now.
And I'll tell you the real problem. They got Andy McDowell's daughter on that show, and she is gorgeous, and she is not pulled him out yet, and that is not acceptable. I forgot the
that's
dude.
The only reason you're sticking around, isn't it?
No, I trust right. me, if you found that episode where she pulls him out, I would just pop that on an HBO Go in a heartbeat. No, I'll give anything, like I said, anything HBO does, as long as it's remotely watchable to me, I'm like, what the hell?
They're just demanding a lot of patience right now, and I don't think the payoff's gonna be there.
It won't. It's a make-believe show.
Yeah.
They could have Cthulhu or whatever. And he was the reason they're all disappeared. You wouldn't be able to say a damn thing because the creators and the people that film it, they're the ones that put all the effort into it. You could have a better solution, but they make it. And you have to accept as gospel what they do.
Yeah.
But yeah, that chick is hot. The one that plays the sheriff's daughter. In episode one, she like just strips down to a bra and panties. And the instant I realized that was what she was willing to do for a pilot episode, I was like, oh, we aren't seeing those tits.
Oh.
And then I looked up who she was, and she's like, yeah, Andy McDowell's daughter.
Wow.
Like, way better looking than Andy McDowell, though. I don't know. Andy McDowell always had wolf teeth.
I just saw St. Elmo's Fire a couple weeks ago.
I forgot she was in that.
She was in that along with Demi.
Demi
Moore had a great line in that flick. She
shave me, please.
She's dating. I'm sorry. What was it? No, it's not her. She's dating an older man in the movie, but at the same time, her father is dating a woman her age. And so her character actually complains about the age difference between her dad and her stepmother.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it's ironic to me because of her marriage to Ashton Kutcher, but...
Oh! Yeah. I hadn't even... Yeah. I just love how every woman's magazine was like, how great is that, that he doesn't care and he's just with this hot older lady? And then it's like when it actually comes time to settle down, he's like, I'm going to get a really hot chick who's my age and then impregnate her. And that is what we're going to do. Like any dude who had any sort of familial aspirations would be okay with a chick who was in her 50s or whatever. And right. I was just like, oh, the womb is very closed. Why would you want that? Why? Unless you're so dead set against kids, man.
Yeah, no, I think that's something that older women trying to date younger men probably need to keep in mind. Dudes really got to be okay with not having kids. Which,
yeah, or you have to be cool with getting pumped out for 4 or 5 years. What a romantic I am. Pumped out. Like she's a flooded basement. Yeah, you got to be okay with that. And then the instant he's done playing in the sandbox and wants to actually build a sandcastle, he'll leave you for a beach.
Yeah.
So many metaphors. So we're going back to the outline really quietly. Oh, yeah, yeah. We could jump back to how bad True Blood is, too. But no, we won't do that. I'll also talk about the fact that I've quit porn, or at least jacking it. Yeah.
Wow.
On day 6. That's why my eyeballs look teary the whole time. My jizz is brimming that high. You definitely don't want me to sneeze on you.
You mentioned before the show that you've been writing more recently.
Yeah.
I guess that's part of it, huh?
Well, the whole, I don't know if you're familiar. I've talked about the whole NoFap movement before.
What are you talking about? What is this?
What, NoFap?
This
it's
is a,
it's a thing on Reddit.
This is a website?
It's a subreddit of Reddit, but it's kind of gained a lot of traction in recent years with guys putting out there, postulating really, that looking at porn and whacking it is pretty bad for you mentally and bad for you socially, but not just that it makes you very complacent and you're probably not going to approach a beautiful woman in real life and say what's up to her if you're just going to run home and masturbate,
right?
Because one is so much easier than the other.
That's true, yeah.
And our stupid lizard brain, evolutionarily, or evolution, or something, you know what I'm going for, it can't tell the difference between, like, just an image on the screen and, like, someone in real life. You have to look at it this way. Even the least porn-using out of all of us, even those that just watch TV, we have seen more beautiful women in our lifetimes, and we're both 33, or you're 32.
Yeah.
We're both early 30s. We have seen more beautiful women in our lifetimes than what our previous 150 ancestors. I mean, how many generations back you want to go? They were used to seeing people like 50, 100, 200, 300 people in their lifetime.
Right.
We've seen nothing but tens. Like, we think that's what life is.
Yeah, you can just go down like a certain subreddit now and get those links and then boom, right?
Yeah, I can screw off on Gone Wild and every college girl is going to be a 9 who has a pussy like a busted fire hydrant. It's insane. But I'm saying you could just watch a movie. Like, we have movies where people are selected because they're the prettiest people on earth. And we just watch that. And then we think even that doesn't affect our brain. Like, we're ragging on Demi Moore because she's a, you know, like a pelt. But, like, do you ever think, like, how spoiled we are just from what we can look at visually, that we can crap on Demi Moore, who, like, in your ancestor's lifetime, if they saw an image of that, they would have, like, killed a man to use his teeth to carve that on a cave wall so that they wouldn't forget that one image. That's how pretty she would have been to them back then. And we can just deuce all over it because she has some hair out of place.
Yeah, I mean, the photograph came around in the 19th century, and, you know, it was the 20th century when it had color.
So. Yeah. Well, just imagine that. And that's so lighthearted on the spectrum. Now we can, if we have a sexual urge ever, we can now watch a variety of lifelike videos that pretty much replicate being on the chick and masturbate to it. Our dumb brain can't tell we really didn't do that. And so a guy who's just buying a bunch of Astroglide and clicking around free links, his brain thinks he is the most alpha male that ever existed. Like, yeah. he just shot his seed into seven of the most eligible honeypots that you could find on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And not just that. You can also, some people, this never really happened to me, but really go down like a rabbit hole of porn where you need more and more and more hardcore porn,
right,
to get the same effects. For me, I just remember as a kid, you saw the swimsuit issue and Victoria's Secret, then you saw Playboy, and you're like, oh my God. And then you saw a club where a chick was getting plowed. And you're like, whoa, that's as far as I went. Thank God I never went into the hole where it's just like you're checking out tranny porn and gangbangs and all that. To me, it's still all these years later, I'm like, oh, it's a naked girl. Look how nice that naked chick body is. And that's good for me. But I do feel I was wasting a lot of energy, like just whacking it for whatever reason. Like my thoughts were really cloudy, which is something they attribute it to wanking a lot, being unmotivated. So I'm figuring if my prostate like a balloon and not draining myself will get me more focused. I don't really know. My girlfriend barely touches my dick, so this is a very bad experiment.
Yeah, I'd say if you look at the history of, like, the shakers, like the popularity of shaker furniture is attributed to the fact that they were all celibate, so they really just put an amazing amount of effort
they
into
really
their
chiseled.
Craft.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the best woodwork from like the last 150 years was from the shakers because they couldn't have sex. So I highly recommend this as you try to get some of this writing material down.
Yeah,
I think it'll definitely improve the quality of it, man.
Well, I'm on day 6, which for me, 5 days without jacking it is just...
Yeah, congrats, man.
Thank you. Oh, I missed that.
That is
sound.
Not the sound of fapping.
I don't know. I guess when I was jacking it, I did that NBC thing, which I haven't talked about on
air
yet.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, yeah. I haven't really talked to you much about that, actually.
No, it's...
Do you want to give the pitch again, or no? You want to save it for when NBC gives you the call?
No, if someone can take this idea and actually get it signed, good for them. No, I don't mean that. Don't steal from me, you sons of bitches. Not that I even gave much of a pitch. I don't think you ever even saw the pitch video.
I haven't seen your pitch.
All right, there's a concept called NBC Playground out there, and... They're like, we want to get, hold on, writing down, there we go. So that's how I can make YouTube clips, guys. Sorry, I'm trying to write down when each segment is, and then I'm going to cut that into a YouTube clip and then upload it. And then you'll share it, except that part hasn't happened yet. So NBC has made this thing called Playground, where they want comedic talent from across the country, outside of the usual centers of LA and New York, to contribute sitcom ideas and, again, pitches. That was like this was the opening contest, I think, for NBC Playground.
NBC, I think, is a distant third right now among the three major networks, right?
Well, they're, I mean, still... it's not 1989. There's four majors now.
Yeah, sorry.
You dated yourself a little bit.
Yeah,
this upstart
yeah.
Fox, I just I married keep... with children.
They still don't do programming at 10 p.m., though, do they?
No, you're absolutely right. They do the only primetime news in the, I think, of any of the networks.
So at 10 o'clock, they're still...
They punch out of their network programming at 10, everyone else at 11.
Yeah, I still, like, have an issue with that. Anyway, so, like, NBC's now fallen into fourth, even with, like, that hour less of programming for Fox. So.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I think NBC... Dude, what was NBC's last big thing?
They really fell off after Friends, I thought, right?
Like, I mean, Friends, been... yeah, but it's like they were maybe starting to get a little something going around their Thursday night after like 7 years, and then Office left, and then they lost 30 Rock.
They killed 30 Rock. They've just they ruined their network again. Because the thing that really killed him was the Leno 10 p.m. thing. The whole Conan fiasco.
That was a debacle. That made them the laughing stock of television.
So this is why they actually have to do this open competition to see what America can.
Assholes like me can now say, hey, NBC, this is my pitch. So they demanded both a recorded segment of your previously written work, and I was too lazy to make that. So I sent them a video of us rapping on YouTube.
It was all pre-scripted, of course.
Yeah, of course. If you're listening to NBC, it wasn't just us talking right now. Like, we wrote that. Brilliant improvisation. It's like Groucho. Like, he wrote it so well, it sounded improvised, but it wasn't. There you go. Comparing myself to one of the talents of the inception of TV comedy. But what the hell? And then I had to make a pitch. And my pitch was a sitcom about a dude who has to take it on the chin, and his wife's parents are like, we know you're broke, move in with us, live in the basement so that our daughter and your new baby aren't going to be on the street. And he does that, and then hijinks ensue. It wasn't even that developed a pitch. I was just like, look, they move in, they lock horns, and then I got into kind of a little bit of what he... No, I didn't even touch on work because I didn't want to box it in that much, but I talked about the dynamics of them dealing with each other. And how funny that would be. Howard, your eyes are rolling.
I would have created a couple more sets. I think the way sitcoms work, you need three sets. So I guess that would have been one piece of feedback. It would have been worth like developing a work set.
Probably.
Yeah.
Considering I've never done a pitch before and then had to read up on it for about 2 weeks.
I'm glad you did it, man. Yeah. You got to like get this ball rolling, man. Come on. You're not getting any younger.
No, so. I'm not. I am getting fatter and older, though. So that's...
So writer it is. Writer it is.
Yeah, exactly. Writer. I will not entertain any thought of being in front of the camera. But yeah, I did the NBC pitch. I guess we can hear back the end of September. If I don't hear back by then, I'm quite screwed. But I'm quite screwed already because, oh, that's nice. Why the hell? I thought this was muted. I'm going to take another call. Hold on a second. Ah, that sweet clipped Indian accent. The backbone of so much of my personal economy. Those Indian people love locking other people out. They love that landlord thing and then kicking out them tenants.
Mm.
But I'm not saying it was the strongest pitch. I'm just kind of happy that I did it. Segment known to man. That was 4 minutes of utter junk. People are like, what are you talking about? What's a pitch?
No, let's talk about this, because, I mean, we actually just briefly said that you're not interested in being on camera, but you're actually looking to perhaps bring a video camera into studio more now, right?
I think I have to. The way to organic traffic is YouTube, and I've ignored that for roughly, oh, my God, we're almost on 6 years of this show, or no?
It's like around seven.
Seven.
Now, yeah.
We just hit 400 episodes.
But I thought, now, why can't you just do segments onto YouTube with audio and just a picture background, like a still frame of the
logo? I mean,
logo.
I can do that, but the thing is, if I actually stream live from the studio, A, people can watch us, B, it's live, which you might have figured out from me calling it live streaming, and then C, they just upload the video. It wouldn't be with this level of audio quality. Like, I wouldn't sync the audio. It would be whatever little camera we had trained on us would supply the audio. But it'd be something for people to watch, man. I don't know. It's not like we do anything embarrassing. It's not like you've been rimming me this whole episode or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'll talk to you later about, like, me being on camera. But,
have to maintain your anonymity. Can't we put you in, like, one of those Green Hornet Kato masks?
I just
get real Asian with it.
I like that the character I play on radio isn't affiliated with, like, who I am. Like, there's not a connection.
Let's get you a Zorro mask. The same way, like, a chick on Gone Wild who doesn't want to show her face puts on, like, a Mardi Gras mask for sex.
I don't know, man. I think I think if you go to the video route, it's gonna be a...
It could just be trained on me, then. How's that?
I think it would be a very different show, man. I think it would. I think you'd have a very different setup. I think you might have some different personalities on the show.
You mean we'll try to get someone attractive in the studio?
Actually, I was going to say, like, Allison often shows up for the radio show wearing sweatpants and a hoodie, which if you
Allison, given all of her photographic trickery with what she presents online.
Yeah.
She would not in a million years permit. She would permit neck up filming. That's it.
No, I
would
cleavage?
Have to, I would have to set her down and then put a bib on her like she was going to get her hair cut. One of those reverse capes. That's what she would have to wear.
I'm pretty sure Allison and I are both on the same page when it comes to like video of
us. We can, you know what? We can just train it on me. I got no shame.
I'm saying like we should get an open call for people that are interested in appearing on a
show. Do you want someone to play the character of you? That would be funny to me.
I think you need some fresh meat for a video radio show, man. That's what I think you need.
But then you're just dealing. You know me. I'm not going to get some dude that looks better. So I'm just going to look at other holes to have on the show. And then it'll just be like me with like a 23-year-old who thinks she's the best and the funniest thing ever because she's attractive. And we know that attractive is not comedy. Can we just like put that out there? Like pretty people, if they cash in at all on their looks, just cannot be funny.
I mean, I think there's a way to go about it, man. It's an idea worth exploring. I'll say that.
I'm not against attractive people in the studio as much as it might appear that way. No, it's weird you bring that up or that I brought it up. Maybe it's not that weird because we put it on the outline before the show. But I was thinking the other day, are you familiar at all with Brittany Ferlin, I think is her name?
I was not really aware of her until today, no.
Hold on. I'm Googling her right now. Brittany Ferlin. And she's a Vine celeb, which is maybe the saddest goddamn thing I've ever said. But she's a chick who came to fame on Vine. And I think a couple of weeks ago, she got in trouble because she was invited as a social media personality to do some red carpet work for the daytime and Emmys. I don't know how much more obscure you can go.
Right.
But she did. And she got in trouble because some dude was attractive. And she's like, don't come back or we'll rape you.
Wow.
And it wasn't funny. Nothing she said was funny. It wasn't offensive either. It just wasn't funny.
Right.
And it got me thinking, man, because I looked her up. And I'm like, how did this chick get noticed if she's got this sort of following? I think she's like 170,000 people on Twitter. That's no joke. She's verified. I'm like, if that's her kind of comedy, because I heard a bunch of her other red carpet repartee. She wasn't Joan Rivers in her heyday. Let's put it that way. She was not exactly on fire. I'm like, how did this bitch get noticed? I looked her up. Her tits, Howard. Her goddamn tits. There's nothing like them. Porn stars would kill for tits like this. And like the dome piece isn't bad. Speaking, going back to Demi, she looks like what you would have wanted Demi Moore's kids to look like. She looks like Rumor and Scout or whatever, but minus the Bruce Willis chin.
Right.
She's a really, really strikingly good-looking girl. And she's just, again, the tits I cannot quantify. So words do not do them justice.
There are millions upon millions of Vine users who would laugh at whatever she said just to take an extra look at those.
Yeah, and there's certain comedic Vines she's made that start with her in a bikini top. And this fucking bikini top is hanging on like the guys from that movie Alive. Like, it is not easy for this bikini top. She is just packing tits. Fuck, I can't even, there's nothing I can say other than her tits are exquisite. Like, they're just some of the best tits I've ever seen. And it kills me that she thinks she's, like, fine. Like, even if she's mildly funny, the level of success she has experienced is just because of her fucking big tits.
But how is she supposed to know that people aren't actually laughing at her jokes?
She can't. I just want to be a baby bear holding the beehive of her tits and smearing their honey on my face. That's how fucking good her tits are. That's all I want right now. I can't even finish the show because I just want those tits on my mouth.
So
she can't know because her entire experience is thinking she's hilarious because she's a hot girl and she's just putting herself out there. Whatever she puts out there, people are going to agree with. She could say tomorrow, she'll put on a patch and be like, I'm a fucking pirate. And every guy will be like, oh, that's great. Where's your parrot? Do you want to take over like a ship right now? Whatever the hell you say, you're great. She could put on gym shorts and be like, I'm a great basketball player now. And guys would be like, yeah, you have incredible fundamentals, even if you can't dunk. They'll say, they'll agree with whatever for those fucking tits. Same with the Jenna Marbles girl. She's at least kind of funny. But she got so noticed because, again, she's just a skinny blonde. And you're like, I'd certainly hit it.
Yeah, so I don't understand. Are you angry at these folks, or do you just want to blow your load inside them? Like, what's going on here, man?
I mean, like, I'd certainly hate fuck them.
All right. We're there.
And that's the problem. That's the worst reaction anyone is going to ever give her. That is how privileged this woman is. The worst someone can say about her is, like, I'd fuck her, but I wouldn't be happy about it. I would be very stern with myself afterward. That's all you can say. And it got me thinking, and I went back for whatever reason to Dane Cook. I don't know how. I'm the only person that's thought of Dane Cook in the last 7 to 8 years. People, I don't know if a lot of people outside of comedy know this or not. Dane Cook and Louis C.K. are like the same age, more or less. And they came out of the same Boston comedy scene at the same time. And back in 2001, 2002, you fucking didn't know who Louis C.K. was. I mean, he could have been the 20th guy that brought down the towers, and you wouldn't have known who the fuck Louis C.K. was. Dane Cook was blowing up, though. And I'm not saying Dane's an unfunny dude. Like, he'll say stuff on occasion, and I'm like, that wasn't bad.
Right.
But we all know in our heart of hearts, Dane Cook was huge for a time because chicks wanted to fuck him.
He had a huge female fan base.
He had a huge female fan base from girls that were like, that is a dude who didn't need comedy to get laid. You look at a Louis C.K. Chicks right now are like, John, I don't know what you're going for. I'd fuck Louis C.K. too. You would fuck Louis C.K. because of his personality, because he's funny. I'm not saying because he's rich, but because he would charm you. And after 2 weeks, you'd be like, fine, I'll let your fucking gross pot belly smack against mine. Get your, like, soft, semi-soft prick inside me. I know you can't manage a full hard-on because you're a big fat slob. Do that. That's how chicks would fuck Louis C.K. Dane Cook would get fucked because a girl is drunk enough to work up the nuts to walk up to him and be like, let's fuck in the shitter.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm a real classy girl when I do a girl impression, by the way.
But yeah, I mean, it's like him and Patton Oswalt. It was a real struggle to get noticed by anyone because like appearance concerns.
They're so
really,
fucking
right?
ugly. Yeah, and I mean, they're geniuses, but they're just not what anyone wants to see on camera. And I'm not saying that to be mean or throw them under the bus. I really genuinely, especially Patton. Patton is from like 20 minutes where I grew up. There's nothing cooler than that. But Patton's like short, really short, kind of dumpy.
Yeah,
he'd be the first to say it. And it drives me nuts that guys like that won't get noticed. They take an extra 10 years because they're not attractive. But I guess...
What are you saying, John? Guys like that. What are you really saying?
Guys like me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I really wish I were attractive. Why can't I be the werewolf from True Blood? Joe Manganiello, whatever the hell. Why can't I be that, where I do one funny thing on Magic Mike and it gets a huge laugh? It was a funny scene, though, where he does a routine where he picks up the chick and spins her around, and he grabs a fat girl, and he throws his back, and he just waves at the DJ, like, cut my song, I'm done.
Well, I'll say this, man. If network television stations were comedians, NBC would be the Louis C.K. And so you're in luck, man. You really might have a chance here, because they're looking for similarly situated individuals.
I hope.
So, yeah, man, I don't know. Let's
I hope. I knew I was kind of doomed when 15 days left in the contest, Janine Haddad, who's the wife of stand-up Paul F. Tompkins,
yeah.
who I loved growing up. Like, I was obsessed with Mr. Show, and he was the funniest thing on there. For some reason, she follows me, and I follow her. I'm like, that's fucking great.
Yeah.
And I want to say with 15 days left, Janine was like, here's my entry into the contest. I was just like, great. So she's the Hollywood outsider.
Yeah,
because only her husband has TV time. Like, oh God, if that's the definition of Hollywood outsider, yeah. I'm fucked. Now, someone's butler is gonna get some nice TV gig.
Yeah, because I've from time to time I watch those voice competition shows on TV,
mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that, you know, lately everybody's pointed out that American Idol has been greatly surpassed by The Voice.
I'm not even, American Idol's still on?
Yeah, no, they got rid of Randy. He's the final
Who's left?
Guest. No, the judges are now, Harry Connick Jr. is the lead judge, Keith Urban, and Jennifer Lopez.
Jesus, okay.
Those are the three. It's bizarre to watch now, but it's strange because what they've now done with the show, because they can no longer get that flash in the pan person. We've already found all the like undiscovered talent from these shows. They've all come and they've all really like done their thing. Everybody else is now.
Well, I'll always say this. Like, how much of a talent contest is it really when the first talent you need is the ability to walk away from work for 3 days and piss in a bottle while you wait in line?
I mean, they really drummed up a gem of a singer when they found Kelly Clarkson. Since then, I guess they've had a couple other people.
Yeah, again, because that was back when you could dip in for 2 hours and then be done.
Yeah, but I mean, even like since then, they haven't had a whole lot of success, I feel, with finding new people on American Idol. It's been very small handful of people who've been able to have recording careers. Some of them have made their way to Broadway.
Who's the blonde? Not Kelly Pickler.
Oh, Harry Underfoot.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, she has a country career.
That is much easier.
Yeah. I mean, she was perfect for it, and they clearly saw that she was going to make it a country, just the way that she was set up being an oak. She's an Okie, so.
Yeah.
Like, she was fine, and then Adam Lambert is touring with Queen now. Other than that, like, you haven't really seen anybody with a lot of recording success. Again, Fantasia's on Broadway now. Remember her? She broke her shoe.
Oh, B-A-B-Y-M-A-M-A.
Yeah,
this one of the... out to all the baby mamas.
Yeah.
I do.
They definitely played that on Black Radio in D.C. a lot.
Oh, God, yeah.
They rocked that on PGC.
Oh, are you kidding? That was when I had, like, four black stations on the dial. I'm sorry for 2004. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that was awful, too. Man, Ruben Studdard is terrible.
Yeah, what the hell happened to that guy? Did he get gastric or no? Is he skinny?
I don't follow him, believe it or not.
No one does.
But anyway, like as American Idol has faded, The Voice has replaced it. And the thing that The Voice has done, which shows why you're screwed, is they've really focused on people who have been previously signed to labels. And so that's really where they're drawing a lot of the people who've been successful on the show. To win that show right now, it literally seems to require that you have an existing fan base from your previous record deal.
Oh, God.
And you're just kind of a free agent looking for a new
opportunity. Yeah, you kind of just fell through the cracks, but you were signed by an A&R.
Yeah, basically. So, like, the person who won most recently that I can think of is Cassidy Pope. She won on Blake's team. And now she went from being sort of she went from an indie band that had a following in the Northeast to, like, trying to make it now on country radio. But that's the kind of competition you have. And you could just look at the Twitter following of everybody in her season. And you knew she was going to win just based on her Twitter following because she had several hundred thousand fans.
Already?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not even a contest.
Like, I mean...
Some asshole with 14,000 followers is going to contend with that?
I'll put it this way. She probably had, like, at least 80 when she started the show. But
that's
you could
huge.
See...
You crack, like, 20,000 organically, yeah. You're doing something in life.
Yeah, she already had, like, a decent... Like, she had her band was on Vivo. I don't know if you watch Vivo videos ever, but yeah, she was already on like the top like YouTube music video station. Like her band was already
that. She didn't.
So she just this was her way since the band's like record deal had expired. Yeah, she was able to go on the show. I've seen other people like the guy who did Cupid Shuffle was on once. I've seen other country.
Is that goddamn song that always comes on at a bar like at 1 a.m. and four fat chicks dance to it together?
It's at weddings. It's like at every wedding I've been to in recent years.
I've never heard that on radio. Hold on. Let's look
for those
up.
Of you into African-American film, I believe it is featured in Jump the Broom.
Oh, God. I think I've had a lot of African-American TV on lately. They put the Best Man Holiday or Best Man Vacation or
whatever
some shit on HBO recently.
You're not as OG as me. I live in the hood of Baltimore and I watch Bounce Network.
Yes, this song. This was a song I never heard organically. It's just like it would come on and four fat girls would always hop into the middle of the bar and be like, this is our dance! And then this big herd of women... would do their little shuffle together.
Yeah, no, it's the alternative now. It's slowly replacing the electric shovel, though we are still, unfortunately, in that stage of life where both are played at most weddings.
Great. We're getting lucky Pierre'd by those two. Lovely. Well, let's tap out now that I'm depressed.
So, yeah, you're welcome.
And
you're welcome.
Think about both how I'm not going to get famous and I'll never fuck Brittany Ferlin. Oh, God. Oh, those are just... Look those up. Look that up. Don't click on anything. Don't give her more hits. Just Google image search Brittany Ferlin. And then beat off. Beat off like a savage. Just finish on your monitor. And then walk away. Make someone think you swatted a fly right on your screen.
Is it a hate fuck?
Oh, it's a hate jizz. Just a hate fuck for your hand. That's what masturbating to Brittany Ferlin is. All right, folks. This is Papa's Basement. I'm John Papagiorgio, joined by Howard Flood in papasbasement.com, the show's website. Go there for 2 episodes a week, as well as writing, little clips from the show, all that crap. Please tell your friends about us as well. If you do the podcast subscriptions, you can go through the Stitcher app, click at inpapasbasement.com/Stitcher for a direct link. And for the iTunes users out there, it is inpapasbasement.com/iTunes. I think that's it. I have a YouTube channel that is, there's stuff on it.
Under development.
There you go.
Under development.
Building. Building. Full of immense promise, just like me. All right, later.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way.